Our life on Earth is full of problems. And the main difference between the happy person and the unhappy person is how we deal with our problems. Don't think that the unhappy people have more problems than the happy people. Definitely not. But the difference is how we deal with our problems. The happy people know how to deal with their problems in the right way. And that's why they don't have anxiety nor depression. But the unhappy people, they don't know how to deal with their problems, or they deal with the problems in a wrong way. And that's why they suffer depression or anxiety. And there are many examples in the Holy Scripture about men and women that went through hard times and problems, but they didn't lose their peace or their joy. And one of these examples is the example of our father, David the prophet. David the prophet, from his youth, he was pursued by King Saul. And several times, King Saul tried to kill him. And he was about to be killed. David the prophet, many times in his life, he hid himself in the wilderness, escaping from King Saul. On one occasion, his entire family, wives and children, were taken captives. And also, his friends, not only King Saul and his enemies, but his friends turned against him and wanted to kill him, as I will explain later today. These are problems from outside. And from inside, he suffered the shame and the guilt of committing adultery and the sin of murder. He had problems in his own family. His son Amnon committed adultery with his daughter Tamar. His other son Absalom killed his brother Amnon. Absalom later started to fight his father to take the kingdom from him. And Absalom, he was killed. Just these are some examples of the problems that David experienced in his life. And I am sure, no matter what are the problems we are experiencing every day, I am sure none of us went through all these problems. I'm sure none of us went through all these problems. But you can feel in the life of our father David's problem. He didn't lose his peace. Most of his time, there is joy in his psalms. You feel that he didn't lose his peace, nor his joy. So, I think King David is a good example to learn from him how he dealt with his problems. And let me take an example, one of these problems, and see how David dealt with this problem. To give you a little background before I read it, David escaped from King Saul and he went to the Palestinians. And the king of Palestinians accepted him. And in return, he asked David to be with them in the army and to fight against the Israelites. And David had no option because the king of Palestinians just accepted him. So he wanted him to be with him in the army. Later on, the rulers and the magistrates of Palestine, they refused that King David go the war with them because they couldn't believe that King David will fight his own nation. After this, King David returned to his city. And let me read with you what he found out when he returned back to his city. 1 Samuel chapter 30 from 1 to 6. Or let me read a little bit from chapter 29 in order to understand what happened in chapter 30. Then Achish called David and said to him, that's chapter 29, verse 6, "Surely, as the Lord lives, you have been upright, and your going out and your coming in with me in the army is good in my sight." So the king knew that David is faithful, honest, and he told him, "Your going out and your coming in with me in the army is good in my sight. For to this day I have not found evil in you since the day of your coming to me. Nevertheless, the Lord's don't favor you." The Lord's means, you know, the magistrates of Palestine. They didn't favor him because they doubted his faithfulness. "Therefore, return me now and go in peace, that you may not displease the lords of the Philistines." So David said to Achish, "But what have I done? And to this day, what have you found in your servant as long as I have been with you, that I may not go and fight against the enemies of my lord the king?" Then Achish answered and said to David, "I know that you are as good in my sight as an angel of God." So actually he was telling David, "You are like an angel of God. Nevertheless, the princes of Philistines have said he shall not go up with us to the battle. Now therefore, rise early in the morning with your master's servant who have come with you. And as soon as you are up early in the morning and have light, depart." So David and his men rose early to depart in the morning to return to the land of the Philistine, and the Philistines went up to Jezreel. Now it happened when David and his men came to Ziklag, that is the city in which David was living at the time. They reached there on the third day. Then the Amalekites had invaded the south and attacked Ziklag and burned it with fire. So during his absence, the Amalekites attacked his city and burned it with fire, and had taken captive the women and those who were there, from small to great. So they took all the women and children as captives. they didn't kill anyone, but carried them away and went their way. So David and his men came to the city, and there it was burned with fire, and their wives, their sons, and their daughters had been taken captives. Then David and the people who were with him lifted up their voices and wept until they had no more power to weep. And David's two wives, Ahinoam and Jezreel, and Abigail, the widow of Nabal, the Carmelite, had been taken captives. So David returned back. He found that his city was burned with fire. All the women, all the sons, all the daughters were taken captive, even the two wives of David and his children were taken captive. And they grieved so much, they wept and cried so much, to the extent they have no more power to weep. And do you think that's all what happened? No, something else happened. Now David was greatly distressed, for the people spoke of stoning him. The people of his city, his people, they blamed David for this. Why? They said, if David was here, this wouldn't happen. But because David left the city, that's why the city is burned up and all our wives and our children were taken captive. So they want to revenge from David. So I want you to think about David in this situation. First, the Philistine princes say about him he is in trouble. Second, he returned to his city and he found that the city is burned. Third, all the women and children were taken captives, including his wife and his children. And not only this, but also his friends, his men, wanted to stone him. Now David was greatly distressed, for the people spoke of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved. Every man for his sons and his daughter, every person in the city was grieving for his wife and sons and daughters. But David strengthened himself in the Lord his God. Aren't you to put yourself in the place of David and think how much stress you would experience if you are in his place? And think, how would you deal with this problem? How would you deal with this problem if this happened to us? The key verse here is verse 6, 1 Samuel 30, verse 6. But David strengthened himself in the Lord his God. David found out all these problems are above and beyond the human capability. No human being can help me with this. So, if I ask any support from anybody, in no way this will be enough or sufficient. So David knew what he should do. He should go to the path to God, the Almighty, to the Lord God. And David strengthened himself in the Lord his God. But What does this mean that David strengthened himself in the Lord his God? When you read the Psalms, the book of Psalms, I want you to notice carefully the introduction to the Psalm. And the amazing point you will find at the time of distress, at the time of problem, what David used to do is to pray and to compose psalms. And let me give you some examples. The first example is Psalm 59. In the introduction to this psalm, it says, the son of David went, saw, sent men, and they watched the house in order to kill him. So David was escaping from King Saul, and King Saul sent men to watch the house to kill him. So David started to pray to the Lord. What did he say? Let me read some verses. Deliver me from my enemies, O my God. Defend me from those who rise up against me. Deliver me from the workers of iniquity, and save me from bloodthirsty men. For look, they lie in wait for my life. The mighty gather against me, not for my transgression, nor for my sin, O Lord. They run and prepare themselves through no fault of mine. Awake to help me, and behold, you therefore, O Lord, the God of hosts, the God of Israel, awake to punish all nations. So, how David dealt with this problem? When King Saul sent people to kill him, what did he do? He knelt down and started to pray to God, to ask him to deliver him from his enemies. He knew that the King Saul is after him, not because of his transgression, nor because of his sins. So actually, he's experienced injustice here. But it doesn't matter. He prayed to God, and he has confidence in God that God will deliver him. And in spite of the fact that King Saul wanted to kill him, I want you to sense the joy in this psalm. Verse 16 and 17. So put yourself again in his situation. Somebody is after you to kill you, and you didn't do anything wrong. And what our father David is saying, but I will sing of your power. Singing usually is a sign of joy. Can you believe a person that's threatened to be killed is singing? But I will sing of your power. Yes, I will sing aloud, so that everybody will hear me. Yes, I will sing aloud of your mercy in the morning, for you have been my defense and refuge in the day of my trouble. To you, O my strength, I will sing praises, for God is my defense, my God of mercy. When I read these verses, I feel that we don't have any faith in God. If we have faith in God, no matter what happened, no matter the problems we are facing, we should sing and praise the Lord. If we really believe that He is our defense and God of mercy, we shouldn't lose our joy or our happiness. You know why we lose our joy and our happiness? Because we have little faith. We don't believe in God. Even if people are after us to kill us, if we have this faith in the Lord, this confidence in the Lord, He is our defense. He will deliver us from our enemies. Nothing will take the joy from our hearts. Another example, Psalm 56. In the introduction to this psalm, it's a psalm of David when the Philistine captured him in Gath, captured him as a captive, and he was imprisoned. What did he say? Be merciful to me, O God, for man would swallow me up. Fighting all day, he oppresses me. My enemies would hound me all day, for there are many who fight against me, O Most High. And again, the tune of joy and confidence in the Lord. Just he said his complaint to the Lord, and he switched to the joy, the tone of singing and praising the Lord. The verse 3, whenever I am afraid, I will trust in Him. In God, I will praise His words. In God, I have put my trust. I will not fear. What can flesh do to me? What can flesh do to me? Nothing. The Lord is my defense. The Lord is my God. The Lord is merciful to me. So tell me, what can flesh do to me? When I am afraid, I will trust in the Lord. That is how we should deal with our problems. When I am afraid, I will trust in the Lord. That's why David never, or most of the time, he didn't lose his hope. Another psalm is Psalm 3. David composed this psalm when his son Absalom was after him to kill him and to take the kingdom from him. So he composed Psalm 3. As we read in the introduction, a psalm of David when he fled from Absalom his son. What did he say? Lord, how they have increased who trouble me. Many are they who rise up against me. Many are they who say of me, there is no help for him in God. And that's his complaint. That's what he feels as a human being. But immediately he switched to the tune of faith, trust, confidence. Listen carefully to what he says after this. But you, O Lord, are a shield for me, my glory, and the one who lifts up my head. I cried to the Lord with my voice, and He heard me from His holy hill. And see here, he's speaking in the past tense. He heard me. He is confident that the Lord hears him and will defend him. And that's why in verse 8, salvation belongs to the Lord. Nobody can save me except the Lord. Salvation belongs to the Lord. Your blessing is upon your people. Hallelujah. And one time, David was in the wilderness hiding himself. And I want you to think, what kind of feeling would you have if you are in the wilderness, in a desert, hiding yourself from the king that wants to kill you? What feeling would you have in this situation? You are in a desert, there is no water, there is no food, you sleep on the sand, you live in a cave, and you are threatened, your life threatened. You may die at any moment. What kind of feeling? I think if I in his place, I may cry, feel depressed. But let us read Psalm 63 to see what feelings David had. Psalm 63, and actually the title of this psalm, Joy in the Fellowship of God. So the word joy gives me the impression that maybe he's in the palace and now, or in the temple, actually the temple wasn't there, in the tabernacle of meeting, he's standing before the Ark of Covenant, he's praising God. But no, joy in fellowship of God, a psalm of David when he was in the wilderness of Judah. What did he say? In this psalm, even he didn't complain about his situation. He said, oh God, you are my God. Early will I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh longs for you in a dry and thirsty land where there is no water. So sir, David says, yes, I live in a dry land, in a thirsty land. There is no water. But this physical water reminds me with another kind of thirst. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for what? Righteousness. So the thirst for this water reminds me with another kind of thirst. Thirst for God. So when I feel thirsty for this water, my soul thirsts for you. My flesh longs for you in a dry and thirsty land where there is no water. And that's why early I will seek you. So I have looked for you in the sanctuary to see your power and your glory. Because your loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise you. What does this verse mean? Actually, he's saying, your loving kindness is better than life. So if they take my life, if they kill me, your loving kindness is better than this. If they kill me, I'll be with you. So I rejoice in this and I will praise you. I don't care about my life, but I care about your loving kindness, which is much more than life. Why we grieve if we are threatened to be killed? Because we favor our life more than our relationship with God. Why the martyrs were rejoicing and singing and praising in their way to martyrdom? Because they favored God, fellowship with God, more than their lives. That's exactly what St. Paul said in Acts chapter 20. My life is not precious for me. He didn't count his life precious for him, because the fellowship with God is much more than life. Because your loving kindness is better than life, that's why my lips shall praise you. Thus I will bless you while I live. I will lift up my hands in your name. And now he started to feel the hunger, hunger of his body. So he said, my soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise you with joyful lips. So, yes, my stomach is hungry, but my soul feels satisfied as of marrow and fatness. That's why I will praise you. And then he says, when I remember you on my bed, and I thought about it, what kind of bed you use in the wilderness? Describe to me what kind of bed. But even when he was sleeping on the sand in this wilderness, he was thankful to the Lord. He was thankful to the Lord. And he said, when I remember you on my bed, I meditate on you in the night watches, because you have been my help. What kind of help? You are escaping in the wilderness. Therefore, in the shadow of your wings, I will rejoice. Yes, in this desert, there is no trees to overshadow me. But the shadow of your wings, as long as I live under the shadow of your word, I rejoice. That's all what I need in this life. I don't need tents or trees to overshadow. Just I need your wings to overshadow me, and I will rejoice in this. My soul follows close behind you. Your right hand upholds me. And then he started to think about those who seek him. But those who seek my life to destroy it shall go into the lower parts of the earth. They shall fall by the sword. They shall be a portion of jackals. But the king shall rejoice in God. King, because he was anointed by Samuel the prophet to be a king. So the king here referred to himself. Everyone is worth by him shall glory. But the mouth of those who speak lies shall be stopped. This is a powerful testimony about how a person that trusts in the Lord, even in the time of hardships and time of tribulation, nobody can take his joy away from him. Nobody can take his joy away from him. So, from all these Psalms, we learn one lesson. The lesson is, we should, at the time of hardships or when we experience problems, we should seek the Lord, because He is our shield and He is our refuge. Unfortunately, many people deal with their problems in so many different ways. And what they gain? Nothing. Do they gain comfort? Never. And the amazing point, they try more and more in the same way. And I hear many people saying, why don't you go to church? So the answer, let me not finish with my problems and then I will come to the church. Poor this man, because he thinks that after he is done with his problem, he will come to the church. And he doesn't know that he needs a church to deal with his problems. Sometimes, when we have problems, the first thing to cancel or to delete from our schedule is God, is the church, prayer time, gospel, whatever. And what we gain is failure after failure, because we don't seek God. Actually, in Jeremiah 17, verse 5 to 8, God is cursing those who don't seek Him during the time of troubles. He says, thus says the Lord, cursed is the man who trusts in man and makes flesh his strength. Sometimes we trust in people and we don't trust in God. So the Lord say, cursed is the man who trusts in man and makes flesh his strength, whose heart depart from the Lord. As a time of hardship, his heart depart from the Lord and start to seek human help, not godly and divine help. For he shall be like a shrub in the desert, and shall not see when good comes, but shall inherit the parched places in the wilderness, in a salt land which is not inhabited. That what he will inherit? Nothing. Filling. He will inherit nothing, like a shrub in the desert, and shall not see when good comes, shall not see good, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness, in a salt land which is not inhabited. Verse 7, but blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, and whose hope is the Lord. For he shall be like a tree planted by the waters, which spreads out its roots by the river, and will not fear when heat comes, but its leaf will be green, and will not be anxious in the year of drought, nor will cease from yielding fruit. See the difference between this blessing and that curse? The Israelites, at one time, instead of seeking the Lord, they thought to go to Egypt, as they put it, their trust in Egypt, to help them. And the Lord became very disappointed at them. And he sent them this message in Isaiah chapter 30, verse 1 and 2. He said, woe to the rebellious children, says the Lord, who take counsel, but not of me. Many times we ask counsel, but not from God. So he says, woe to the rebellious children, who take counsel, but not of me, and who devise plans, but not of my spirit. Sometimes we have our own plans that may be opposing God's plan, but we don't care. And the Lord says, woe to those who devise plans, who develop plans, but not of my spirit, that they may add sin to sin. By doing this, they are adding sin on sin. Who want to go down to Egypt, and have not asked my advice to strengthen themselves in the strength of Pharaoh and to trust in the shadow of Egypt. So God here is rebuking them because they had plans but not of His Spirit, and they asked counsel but not of Him. They went to Egypt without His advice, and they were looking to the strength of Pharaoh and the shadow of Egypt. So, what God would do? Verse 3, therefore, the strength of Pharaoh shall be your shame. The strength that you are looking for, it will be for your shame. And trust in the shadow of Egypt shall be your humiliation. For the princes where Zwan and his ambassadors came to Hans. And then in chapter 31st, from verse 1 to 3, the Lord continues and says, woe to those who go down to Egypt for help and rely on horses, the horses and the chariots of Egypt. So the Lord says, woe to those who go down to Egypt for help and rely on horses, who trust in chariots because they are many. They say, yeah, the chariots of Pharaoh are many, so he would help us. Let us go to Egypt, let's go to Pharaoh to seek his help. And in horsemen, because they are very strong, but who do not look to the Holy One of Israel, nor seek the Lord. Yet, he also is wise and will bring disaster. So the Lord is telling them, you're going to Egypt. The Lord is the God of the Egyptian too. So he will make Pharaoh for your shame and Egypt for your humiliation. He will change all this to a disaster. He will not and will not call back his words, but will arise against the house of evil doers and against the help of those who work iniquity. Now, and this verse got here making a very, of course, you know, it's a very, very good and sound argument. Now the Egyptians are men and not God. So, are you seeking human help? Egyptians are men and not God. And their horses are flesh and not spirit. So you left me, that God, and you went to Egypt, Egyptian, the human. You left me the spirit, and you went to the horses of Egypt that are flesh. When the Lord stretched out his hand, horse, he who helps will fall, and he who is helped will fall down. So both the helper and the helper, both of them will fall down. He who helps will fall, and he who is helped will fall down. They all will perish together. So, how we should deal with our problems? We should seek the Lord. We should ask his counsel. We should put our trust in him. And only then we will experience joy and happiness. As King David said, the Lord is my light and my salvation. If an army against me, I'm not afraid, because my help and my power is the Lord. So the Lord wants us to put our trust in him. If we put our trust in him, yes, he may use human being, but this mainly we are putting our trust in him. And the human being that God will use will be his tools, his instruments. But the major sin is to forget about God and to ask human help, and we put our trust in humans more than God. So again, when we have any kind of problem, what we do first? Do we go to the Lord? Do we kneel down? Do we pray? Do we compose prayers as David composed psalms? You know, David, in this story I started with, the city was on fire. His wives and his children were taken captive. His men wanted to stone him, but David, verse 6, not to memorize this verse, But David strengthened himself in the Lord his God. David strengthened himself in the Lord his God. Do we do the same? Amen. Glory. Glory be to God forever. Amen.
Thank you.